Well, I got to tell you, I know that I'm supposed to say that Easter is my favorite Sunday in the year, but or service in the year, but Christmas is. This is my favorite service of the year. I love what we get to celebrate here tonight. And I just want to do some simple reminders. I don't know if you heard the story recently about these FedEx packages. Did you hear about this? A 22-year-old kid worked for FedEx down in Alabama. And he only worked for them for a short time, and then he actually quit that job and went to work for another delivery service. But then all of a sudden, they started finding packages from his route in ditches and ravines. They found over 450 thrown away packages in ravines and in different places. So, of course, the police went to visit him, and he's in trouble. And the sheriff who was investigating said, well, he told us that this young kid, he said he didn't take anything. He just unloaded them because he didn't want to deliver them. Wait a second. Okay, you take a job as a delivery person, and your job is to deliver packages. And you decide, while being a delivery person, not to deliver the package that you're getting paid to deliver. And that's exactly the story that happened. And now he's in a lot of trouble. It's like, oh, young man, you just need a few reminders about, you know, if you're going to sign up to do deliveries, then do deliveries. And it was an amazing story. You can imagine, I mean, somebody's Christmas presents could have been on that box. Because some of you, you're early shoppers. Some of you aren't done yet, I know. So some of you are going to go home and you still have presents to wrap. I know, this won't take long. But, you know, it could have been anything. Birthday presents, it could have been, you know, gifts of chocolate for their favorite pastor. I mean, it could have been anything that's so relevant. And it's just, so what I wanted to do tonight is just do some simple reminders. Just two real simple reminders tonight. So reminder number one has to do with the word light. And it struck me as I was prepping. So just so you know, I get a little nervous about Christmas Eve too. It's one of the few services of the year I actually get nervous about. Because I've done 31 Christmas Eve services. So what am I going to say? And I don't like to repeat things. And so I'm often planning weeks and weeks and in advance. And when I was reading the Christmas story, what struck me this time is the emphasis on light in the Bible. Do you ever notice that, especially around the Christmas story? Look at this. The story says that on the night that Jesus was born, there were shepherds keeping watch in their over their flocks by night in fields nearby, and all of a sudden an angel burst onto the scene, and he brought with him the glory of the Lord, which was light. It was, the glory of the Lord is like, it's almost like seeing the reflection of the pure and perfect God. Now, if you don't know this, the Bible says that God lives in unapproachable light. We physically could not approach him. It'd be like trying to approach the sun. We can't approach the sun. And we can't approach this God of love and light and purity. And so this angel was reflecting it, and all of a sudden, can you imagine? I mean, you've been out on dark nights before. Ever been out camping on a dark night, and all of a sudden, can you imagine what happened if the sky just lit up with light? And that's what happened that night for the shepherds. They were keeping watch over their flocks, and all of a sudden there was this tremendous and bright light that lit up the night sky. And that was the first emphasis. That's the first place where light appears. But God isn't done with light in the story. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where's the one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and we've come to worship him. And so here's the second appearance of light. So not only does God light up the night sky for the shepherds, God actually, the Father, actually puts a star in the sky, indicating with this bright light in the sky the birth of his son, his only son, Jesus. And light is a significant thing. Now, why? I'll get back to that in a second, because this is what happened to me as I've been reading these over the last few weeks. I've been thinking about why is light so important to the story? Well, if you've ever read anything more about the life of Jesus, you know that he follows up on the light. Look at this. Jesus, actually, when he was teaching the crowd, said, I want you to know I am the light of the world. And if you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. So I started thinking, all right, so light is an important part of Jesus. It was there with the shepherds. It announced the birth of Jesus, and then Jesus came along and said, by the way, I am the light. So I started thinking about, well, why is light important? Well, imagine this. Let's say that this service gets done and it's pitch black outside. We're going to get done, still not that dark, but let's imagine that after the service is over, it is pitch dark and we're doing our last song after the service, or we're singing Joy to the World, which is our closing song, and all of a sudden the power goes out. And it is completely dark in this room. The candles blow out too. We got to imagine that. But the power's out, there's no light in the room. And all of us have to find our way to our vehicle in the dark. What's going to happen? I mean, you know what's going to happen. There are going to be people who bump into each other, right, in the dark, and there are going to be people who maybe trip on the edge of the pews, and as they're trying to get out, and there are going to be people stumbling, and people saying, where's my coat? Where's my kid? Where's my husband? Where's my keys? I can't find my purse, right, because we're in the dark, and we can't see. But then all of a sudden, the light comes back on. What light does so well is that it reveals, right? Light reveals. You put light in a dark room, and all of a sudden, you can see. That's what Jesus said, I've come, I'm light, and I've come to reveal. It brings things into our visibility so that we can see the truth. So that's what he's saying. He said, part of what he's saying is, I'm the light, I've come to reveal, and what he came to reveal for all of us was the path back to God Almighty. As we were just floundering in the dark, what's this life all about? Why are we here? And Jesus said, I'm the light. And if you'll just follow me, you'll never walk in darkness again. You'll find this path. And then, incredibly, the story changes with Jesus. If you begin to follow Jesus, then all of a sudden he changes it. And he says, oh, by the way, now you're the light. Now he says, if you follow me, you're the light. Now, if I were to ask you tonight, how many of you feel like, yeah, I'm light. I'm the light. I mean, first off, you'd be saying, what does that even mean? But secondly, many, many people do not feel like they're light in this dark world, right? I doubt if too many of you would be saying, yep, that's me, I'm the light in this dark world. Mm-mm. Sounds even arrogant to say, but Jesus said it. He said, now, when you follow me, you become lights in this world. And he says, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. So he's like, all right, so you're all light, and I want you to be visible, so how do we shine? All right, if I said right now, I want all of you to shine. Ready? Go. Shine. Like, you're like, well, I don't even know what that means. What do I do? He goes on. He doesn't stop here. He says, in the same way, look at what he says. Let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. And that's the phrase that really strikes me in those two words. You know what shines from you? You know when you shine? When you're doing that. He says, you're the light now. You're the light in this dark world, and some of us have spent an awful lot of time over the last 2 years complaining about the darkness, and God is like, enough. No more complaining about the darkness. I want you to do something about the darkness. I want you to shine. And when I was reading this and prepping this, it became really clear to me, oh, I get it now. We shine when we serve. We shine when we serve, because that's when, like he said, you do good works so that others can see. So when we're serving, that's when we shine. And that's the plan that God has for us, is that we would shine because we serve. So if you're not as familiar with our church and what we do here, if you come to Peniel any month in the next year, I promise you, you will see every single month some serving focus for the entire month. It's really something that is essential for our church. It's what we want to be known for, is we want to be known as servants in this world. So in the last year, there have been some really meaningful opportunities to serve. There was a kid we found out, a family in need in one of the local schools. They couldn't afford this dental procedure for their child. Somehow it got back to us. We have a connection to that school. And as a church, we gave, and we were able to help that kid get that dental procedure. And I could go on and on with all kinds of things. The bulletin board, if you just take a look back by the door where you walked in, it's absolutely packed with letters. Most of those are just from this last year of people that were served by the people who call this church their home. Because we shine when we serve. But one of my favorite things was this tree right here. About a month ago, a volunteer in our church told us about families in need in our community that will not get anything for Christmas. Kids won't get anything. Moms, dads won't get anything. They don't have the money. They don't have the resources. And so what she did is she took the information from these 42 people and she put them onto slips of paper and she hung them all over the tree. And there were 42 slips of paper on here. If you'd have come at the end of November, you'd have seen it. And each one had the name, like it might have said a 9-year-old boy. And it would have said what that little boy wanted for Christmas. And one might have said a 12-year-old girl, or one, and then there were adults. It might have been a 38-year-old man or a 27-year-old woman. I mean, it was just full of these. And we asked the church, would you take an ornament off this? Because without us, they don't get anything for Christmas. And so they've told us what they wanted. And so in 2 weeks, all 42 were gone. And then people had weeks, some waited till the last day. Not going to mention my name, but then all of a sudden people started bringing back in. You can see the slips of paper in that front one that's laying on the ground, and then look at the bags. I mean, I know it's hard to see, but these are just a few of them. It was just so many gifts came back. And it's fun to look in some of those bags and just think about what those kids are experiencing right now as they're looking at those wrapped presents under their tree right now, if they even have a tree. Because this was a little different this year. The volunteer that coordinated all this, this wonderful volunteer in our church who set this all up, got to deliver the presents. And she texted me and told me about what happened. She said one woman shared that she had just had a baby and she hasn't been able to go back to work yet. And on top of that, her family's had COVID twice. And they've had other health issues, and she shared how trying this year has been for them financially and mentally, as you can imagine. And she was so grateful for the gifts. Now, in her box was a box of things like toilet paper and paper towels that some member of our church had just bought and brought in answer to what she'd requested. She needed all of these simple cleaning supplies and household items, and she said she couldn't express how badly they were needed, and she just was so thankful. And when I read that, I was so struck by that. I want to ask you, have you ever financially been so hard off that a box arriving with paper towels or toilet paper would have just made your Christmas? I have never in my life been close to that level of neat. But here she is on Christmas Eve, so grateful that one of you bought her paper towels. Isn't that amazing? It's the world we live in. We may not be aware of it, and we don't often see it, but our world is full of people who, for them, this night looks very, very dark. And Jesus said, hey, you, you follow me, you're the light. And we only shine when we serve. When we're serving, that's when we're shining. And we're revealing. Remember, that's what light does. It reveals. You know what I was? What I really pray for that woman tonight, what was revealed the day those gifts arrived for her? You know what I hope was revealed to her? Is that she matters. In a world where it probably feels like she doesn't. And I hope what was revealed to her is that her needs matter. And I hope that was revealed to her, what was revealed to her was that there are people who care about her. And the love that we have and that we show is just the smallest reflection of the tremendous, indescribable love that God has for her. I hope that's what was revealed. I hope that's the message that she got. We shine when we serve. So I don't know if this is your church home. There's a lot of people here tonight, obviously, but I really want to encourage you, wherever you call home, if you're visiting with family and friends here tonight, get involved in a church that serves. Because here's the reality of what I know. You know, we shine when we serve, but the reality is there's no way I shine alone. You think I would have bought 42 presents? You think I could fill that entire stocking full of socks and then start on the next one? It's not I, it's we. It's we shine when we serve. find a church home, or if you're like, I'm not even sure I'm there spiritually, then commit to a cause. Get involved in something you care about. Find some way to serve, and don't make it a once a year thing. You got to make it an every month thing. It's got to be a part of our lives, because this is how we shine. We shine when we serve, and Jesus said we're the light. Okay, so that's the first thing that really struck me as I was prepping for Christmas. And then the second thing that really struck me as I was reading through the Christmas story had to do with the phrase that the angel said on the night of Jesus' birth. So the angel appeared to the shepherds and he said, don't be afraid. Of course they were afraid. He said, I bring you, and this is the phrase, those words, good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. So the good news phrase is what really struck me. Because what he was saying was when the shepherds, you know, after the angels appeared, the shepherds ran to see if this was true. Was there actually a baby basically in a manger wrapped in strips of cloth? Could it be true? And they ran and they found the baby just like Jesus, just like the angels had said. And they're like, whoa. And what we believe, you know, there's two ways to look at what you're seeing on the slide right now. There's two ways. There's the naturalistic, humanistic way. And it's like, yeah, Joseph and Mary had a baby. Okay. And they were really poor and they couldn't afford anything, so they put them born in a barn. But then there is tied into our faith this belief that what was happening that night was more than just the physical birth of a human being, but instead it was something much more. At Christmas, one of the songs that we sing all the time is Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And there's a sentence in there where we sing, Hail the Incarnate Deity. They're like, what? Do you know what that means? Well, hail, of course, means like praise and celebration. Deity means God, but that word incarnate, the word literally means to make flesh. That's what it means, to make flesh. And so what we're actually singing when we sing that part of the song is, God, we celebrate you, the God who was made flesh. That's what we're actually saying. It's what the angels announced. It's what we believe. But that was not just the product of Joseph and Mary, that God became one of his own human beings, took on flesh, and was born that night 2,000 years ago. That's what we believe. We believe what the angels said. We believe that he came, and you can't separate why he came, or his coming from why he came. It's all connected. The reason why he left perfection in heaven and a place where there was no pain and sorrow and suffering to come and be born into this world with all that he had to give up to come was, well, it's what the angel told Joseph. See, when Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, he hadn't been with her. He was still only engaged. They weren't married yet. And he was going to send her away quietly. And an angel appeared to Joseph and said, don't be afraid to take her as your wife. And the reason is because she's going to give birth to a son and you are to give him the name Jesus. And here's what Jesus has come to do. Jesus will save his people from their sins. And that last little word is the word that is Americans, we just don't like. We don't talk about it. We don't want to hear about it, but it's what the Bible says, and it's what I believe. He will save us from our sins. Sin is literally, in archery term, I've told you this many times, you ever shot archery? You ever missed the bullseye? You sinned. That's what sin literally means. You missed the mark. You ever shot a tree or shot one in the ground or 20 feet beyond the target? You were sinning. That's what it means. You missed the mark. You were aiming at that, and you missed that. So it says, Jesus came to save us all from our sins. So we missed the mark. The problem is, it just doesn't seem all that like a big deal. I mean, sin, really? Isn't that like an old-fashioned word? We don't really talk about it, missing the mark. But the reality is, the mark was set by God himself. And he said, Jesus said, if you want to be with my Father in heaven, be perfect. Because that's what he is. He's perfect. How many of you have missed that mark? The mark of perfection. I mean, and the reality is, I'm not even close, okay? I'm not even close to hitting the mark. I can't even imagine if you could go back through my entire 51 years of life and calculate how many times I've been selfish. Could you imagine how high you'd have to count? How high would we have to count for you? We've missed the mark. How many times have I been unkind or cruel or thoughtless? How many times have I had an opportunity to do good, to shine, and I've just like, nope, keeping it for me? Can you even imagine how many times we've all missed the mark in this world? I mean, it's a staggering total. And the problem is that we think that God grades on a curve. You ever have a teacher grade on a curve? It's like, yeah, you know, C's get degrees. So that's all I need to be, right in the middle, all right? It's all I need. And that's great in some classes, but that's not how it works with God Almighty. I told you earlier that he lives in unapproachable light, right? He is pure and holy and perfect. And to be with him, we have to be like him. And are we like him? We're not. So he has two options. He can remove us from his presence or remove what is flawed and broken and damaged from within us. The darkness we've brought into the world. And what Jesus came to do 2,000 years ago was that second option, to take from us the darkness we've contributed to this world. Because after he was born, he lived this life on earth and then laid down his life on a cross. And the Bible says that as he hung dying on the cross, he took into his body my sin, my selfishness, my pride, my lust, my jealousy, my greed. And he paid for it all. And then rose again and offers everyone this amazing gift. This is the second reminder. This is what really caught my attention. It's never too late to start over with God. And I wanted to tell you this because about a month ago, I was listening to this radio program. Probably none of you have heard of it. It's a radio drama program called Unshackled. It's one of my favorite radio programs. So who does old radio programs anymore? You know, like the old radio programs that our parents grew up listening to where they dramatize everything? They do that. And they dramatize real life stories of people who've been in, have been changed by Jesus. And it's been done by this organization in Chicago called Pacific Garden Mission. It's a mission that's been running for well over 100 years for homeless people, for down and out, and they serve them, they shine. They're still there. You can still go there today and see it. And so I was listening to this story, and it's a true story of a man named Frank Holmes. Frank Holmes was born in Czechoslovakia in Eastern Europe in the late 1800s. And in the early 1900s, he heard about all the success and the growth of America. And he's like, I want to go to America and make a fortune. He was pretty mechanically gifted. And so he got on a boat and he came here to Chicago to make his millions. His mom was a strong Christian. She pleaded with him before he left. She said, please, just don't go anywhere where you can't bring Jesus. And to make his mom happy, he said, sure, mom. I didn't keep that promise very well, because once he got here, he started working, and he didn't speak the language very well, and so he got a job in a big factory. He started hanging out. He was really nose to the grindstone. He was saving all of his money. He had a nice apartment. He was building up a nest egg. He was living what he thought was like the American dream, and then all of a sudden, some of his coworkers started to influence him. You do know, by the way, you are always being influenced by the people you spend the most time with. And so his coworkers were people that were heavy into drinking and partying, and they started inviting him along to the bars, and he started going along, and he started drinking more, and pretty soon he started spending most of his money on alcohol. And one day his buddy said, you know what, you got this little bit of money saved up, why don't you hop on a train and go travel around the country? You can see the country. Well, in Europe, you can't do that. And he's like, you can really do that? And he's like, yeah. And there's always jobs. You can always come back and get a job. And so that's what he did. He hopped on a train and he went to see the country. And eventually, you know what happens when you do that, right? You have no money. And he had no money. And he wound up back in Chicago trying to get a job again. And now in the 1920s, you know what was happening in America? There were no jobs. He found himself on Skid Row, in a small little one room in a boarding house, and the only possessions left in his entire life were simply the clothes he had on. That was it. He had nothing else. Every day was spent trying to find a job, which he couldn't find, and begging for food or begging for money so that he could buy more alcohol. And this was his life, and he was brokenhearted about it all. I mean, Christmas Eve, almost 100 years ago, this is amazing to think about, almost 100 years ago, this night he was in Chicago and he made up his mind that he was going to take his own life. He was going to drink himself to death. He'd seen others on Skid Row do it. He knew how to do it. He was just going to do it. And that night, after making the decision, he heard music and singing out in the streets outside the boarding house. So he walked out of his room and he walked over to one of the guys in the boarding house. He said, "What's that?" And he said, "Oh, there's some carolers from this mission work down the street. They do good things for people, you know, they feed us, and I've been there, it's nice." And so the two of them stepped outside to listen to the carolers. And it was beautiful caroling and Christmas songs like we've all heard. But for him, it was so sad because it reminded him of the life he used to have in his home country. And all of a sudden, he was just full of regret. He already felt terrible about himself, wanted to end his own life. He was so heartbroken. But before the carolers moved on, one of the leaders said, "Hey, if you don't have anything going on tonight, come on down to the mission. We're having a special service on Christmas Eve. You're all invited, and you'll hear more singing like this." And so he turned to his buddy and said, "Why don't we go?" And so they went down that night, and he said it was wonderful to be in a place that was clean and warm. And he listened to the music, and again, the pain inside him was so heartbreaking. He had ruined his life. He had wasted his entire life. As he sat there listening to music, he was just more determined than ever to end his life. But at the end of the service, they stood up and they said, "Now tomorrow we want to invite you back out for Christmas morning. We're having a free breakfast. You're all welcome. Come and eat with us. And then afterwards, we're going to tell you about a gift that you can all receive, and you can have the opportunity to restart your life." And he was stunned. Restart my life? Is that even possible? He walked home in the snow that night thinking about it. All night he thought about it. The next morning he got up, he went, he ate the breakfast, but he really wanted to hear. And after the breakfast was over, the teacher for the day stood up and he started to read from the Old Testament and the verses that many of you have heard before, which says, "For unto us a child is given, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace." And they read the verses and said, "The verses are talking about this one named Jesus. And he came and was born on this day, 2,000 years ago, to give all of us an opportunity to start again." And explained what Jesus could do if you would let him. He would forgive you and put you in his family and adopt you. And he would become your new leader in life and you can follow him down a whole new path. And as Frank listened that night, that morning, on Christmas morning, almost 100 years ago to the day, he was stunned by what he heard. So after the service, they said, "If you want to, you can ask Jesus for this gift." And he said, he bowed his head, and he said this. He said, "When I knelt down to pray, I knew the truth. For the first time in my whole messed up life, I saw myself as I really was, a lonely, forgotten sinner who needed Jesus. I confessed, and I received him as my Savior, the one to forgive me, and the leader of my life." And his life changed 100 years ago on Christmas morning. From then on, it was a whole new path. So much joy, so much excitement, still living on, you know, has nothing, no job, no nothing. And so he began to read his Bible and pray. He began to go to the mission and serve with them. And then he started to, still had to find a job. And so this time he didn't know how to do it other than to say, "I'm trusting you, God." And he stood outside the door one day of this factory on the sidewalk and he just started to pray. And he said, "God, I'm following you. I need a job. Would you please open up a job for me?" And he went into the factory and they hired him. And then all of a sudden he had a job. And then before long he had an apartment. And then before long he had a house. And then a wife. And then children. And a whole new life. A whole new life. Because it's never too late to hit that button with God. You've never gone too far. You've never blown it too much. You've never even come close to the end of his love for you, ever. It is an unconditional love that cannot be damaged. And at any moment of your life or mine, he wants you back. At any moment. So I don't know why I felt really compelled to talk about these two things tonight. Maybe one of you needed one reminder or the other. I love that first one. I love to know that we shine when we serve. I love that. I mean, I am so excited about 2022. I can't imagine what God is going to let us be a part of, but I do know this. Today in Montfort, did you hear about this? There was a fire. And a family lost their home. On Christmas, they lost their home. We don't know, we didn't have enough details yet to know what to do. I even heard that one of the firefighters was hurt in the fire. So I don't know what we'll do yet, but do you want to doubt that we will do something? That's us. We want to shine in a family's life right now that must feel incredibly dark, right? Imagine how dark it feels tonight for them. And Jesus said, hey, good news. We've got the light. You who follow Jesus, you're the light. So we'll figure out a way to help. And we'll have more information a week from Sunday. And we'll figure out a way that we can get more involved. For others of you, it's that other one. It's that second thing. It's never too late to start over with God. Let me have you bow your heads as we finish tonight. Some of you feel like something is missing, or you are just so tired of the path that you've been on. It just isn't working for you. There's something missing. You know it. Nothing fills the gap, and it's because no thing can. Only a person can, and that's Jesus. What changed Frank's life 100 years ago was a real God named Jesus who offers every human the opportunity for a do-over, a start-over with him. And maybe tonight that's what you need. Then all it takes is a step of faith toward him, and he will hear and respond. You can say it right now like he did, with your head bowed and your eyes closed. There's nothing magic about the words. It's what you mean when you say it. If you say something like this to him, just say, Jesus, I need you. This isn't working. I can feel that something's missing, and I want to know what's real. I'm putting my trust in you tonight. I want to hit that button with you. I'm asking you to take me down a new path. I want you to be the leader, and I'll follow you. Please forgive me. Take away what I've done and the darkness that I've brought into this world. Come make your home inside of me tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I just thought it's really appropriate at the end of our Christmas service for us to sing about joy. Because I do this because my life was changed when I was 14 years old by a real God named Jesus. That's why I love talking about him. And there's so much joy when you get to know him.